Welcome back to the Gestaltum podcast. My name, as always, is Martin Groschwald, and I'm the host of this little series where we talk about everything related to mobility design. And we have an absolute legend on this podcast this week. His name is Stefan Janin. Most of him know him as the master of concept cars in Renault and the group, of course, of it. And what's not better to talk about his concept cars, but also the idea of branding behind it, how important it is for design in general and the company. So without any further ado, let's go Stefan Janin on the Gestalten podcast. Hello, Stefan. Welcome to the Gestalten podcast. It's an absolute pleasure to have you with us. You're in Paris at the moment. How are things over there? How is life treating you?
Yeah, I am in Paris indeed, and life is okay, even though we have this pandemic, as you know. But Paris is a village, so it's kind of almost nice having this feeling of a village again, because there's not so many people outside.
Yeah. Very nice, very nice. I'm a little bit jealous, because I think, you know, obviously Munich is a nice town, but enjoying Paris with not the tourists or without the tourists in that sense is probably the biggest treat you will ever get, because we just don't know how long this will keep up. But hopefully we're at some point allowed to travel again. But we want to talk a little bit about design today together. And we want to talk about something that I think in this kind of design industry nowadays, you've been quite famous for. We want to talk a little bit about concept cars, about branding, and how they all connect to each other. And I do really appreciate you taking the time. But before we jump really into that process, we have a little bit of a theme, and I ask most people this as the first question, always, you know, up front. And I'll do this the same to you. What is good design for you?
Yeah, actually, it's a pretty difficult question, actually, because more I think about it and more I found difficult to answer, maybe because of the experience. But well, Every time you say good design, I'm thinking about Dieter Rams, you know, because he had the kind of definition of what good design is. Mm-hmm. And we are always dreaming about this perfection between technology, a price and look, you know. So that's what I would say. But because we are, maybe design is bit in between art and engineering, I think it's just something which should bring you an emotion, like a piece of art, but at the same time would be useful. That's the easiest, the simplest thing I would say about design.
Yeah. So when we take the ideas of Dieter Rams in particular, I mean, Dieter Rams was part of the conversation a few times in the podcast, of course, already. And before we jump into the concept cars and everything, when you talk about Dieter Rams, what is it that you can take from his perspective into also the mobility world or into the car design world? Because a lot of people always tell me, like, hey, yeah, you know, he's very product design. He always refused to kind of do a car. He was asked a few times to do that as well. What is it that you take from Dieter Rams with this approach that he has and take it into the mobility sector, into the car sector, that really, you know, helps you to elevate your process of design or your understanding of design?
Yeah, I think what he is bringing to our job is our activities is that it's kind of he tries to imagine a perfect world, you know.
Yeah.
The brand, the branding, the graphic design, the colors, the advertising. I think everything is coherent and makes sense regarding what he has in mind. So plus the fact that he has been influenced by Bauhaus, so he wants also to make kind of clean and minimalist and a purposeful design. So yeah. Altogether, it's a kind of it's kind of perfection, and of course Steve Jobs took that to his brand Apple, and he did the same. It's not just the object itself. It's the branding, the advertising, everything around it is so coherent. So I think it just demonstrates, because Apple is one of the biggest company, I mean, the biggest company in the world, the most expensive one, valuable one. So it just shows that it works. That was an interesting thing.
So take this idea a little bit further, of course, that, you know, it works and, you know, it's something that you can adjust to maybe new ideas. I mean, you are, and I've mentioned this a little bit in this, in the introduction, towards you as well, is that you are really well known within the car design industry. And I would even say you're an idol to a lot of people when it comes to, concept cars, show cars. I mean, you've done a lot of incredible stuff at Renault as well. Taking these ideas of Dieter Rams and, like, you know, what you see with Apple and all these kind of things, how do you start the process for something of a concept car in the concept of design and branding and combining all these things together? Because it's probably what you've mentioned earlier as well. It's cool to do a beautiful thing, but I always had a little bit of the feeling of the stuff that you guys have been doing. There was a certain kind of function approach to it as well. It wasn't just supposed to be beautiful. It had really a purpose. So how do you get in this kind of early process of this of a show car, of a concept car, from all these different kind of angles? What is it that you do? How do we have to imagine Stefan Janot sitting there and just like, okay, we need to do something new here? What's the starting point?
Yeah, but thank you and for this comment. And I must say also that I'm not doing things by myself and have so great designers that are helping me doing that. So just to mention them. I mean, the concept car for me is an opportunity to do a kind of a perfect product without having the issues with the clinic test or investments or plant, you know, issues, because, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's not just, as you said, a beautiful thing, because you are free, you can just make something beautiful. I think it's interesting for us to imagine, oh, if we had, for instance, if we were Apple and we had the money to do a new kind of car, what would it be? So you see the difference between maybe car styling and product design, I would say. So we see a car as a product, and not in a negative way, you know, because in our business, most of the time when people are saying it's like product design, they think, oh, it's going to be boxy, it's going to be a bit boring. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but it's not what we think. We think that it's a product, and we can challenge new way of using it, new functionalities. And sometimes we are hearing about new technology, new technologies, I think, and we think, oh, what will we be able to do with this? And we start to dream about it. So it's definitely not about shape only.
So this is where it gets interesting, because when we talked about, you know, or like when I talked with Benoit Jacob, for example, and, you know, various other people as well, there's always this discussion coming up moving forward as well for the mobility industry of design versus styling. And you mentioned so something very interesting there in terms of your wording, is like car styling and product design. Do you think with, you know, the general kind of industry right now and the way we look into things right now, we're still in terms of car styling rather than car design? And this is something that we need to learn from maybe the product itself, or maybe take the products a little bit, you know, sounds bad when I say this, but less serious, and really just make sure that it's becoming a good design with, you know, obviously this beauty aspect to it. Because that's always a little bit of the feeling that I have, is we're still living in a styling environment with many thought processes, rather than really thinking about what is design in that context.
Yeah, it's true that I think we are, maybe my generation is in between, you know, because we grew up with posters of Ferraris and the wall of our bedrooms, you know, like for F40 or 250 short wheelbase, I don't know. And it's, or maybe we all dreamed about, you know, the Mustang in Bullitt, you know, that's, I think, where, car stylists are coming from. That's their background more or less, you know, or they dreamed about the GT40 winning at Le Mans, you know, that kind of thing. And it's a very romantic, I would say, a vision of car culture. And I think it's great. But it's true that because of the world is changing, we are now moving towards something different. And you're right. There's a kind of two ways of thinking things. And sometimes people don't manage to combine them, you know, But I think we can combine. You don't have to oppose them, if you see what I mean. It's but I do agree that there's two ways of seeing how culture can evolve.
How important is for you? Because I know you moved a little bit more into branding. You've really immersed yourself with that as well. And I believe, you know, when it comes to branding, there needs to be brand shapers. There needs to be a certain kind of brand intention. And within vehicles in particular, that's where, you know, show cars, concept cars always come into play, because it's supposed to show something a little bit bigger than just, you know, a production vehicle. It's supposed to show a little bit of an intent. When you combine these things together, branding, design, and intention of what you want to do, how much freedom is left in that? Or do you actually think this is the biggest freedom you can get, because, you know, design is supposed to make something out of this, to make this kind of intent, or is already in that kind of process with other departments such as engineering, such as maybe marketing as well, this intent sometimes a little bit difficult to grasp? You know, it's what I want to get to is this kind of, how free can you actually be when you do a show car or a concept car? Is it always that simple that, you know, your boss comes up to you and says just like, oh, let's do a Trésor or something like that? I mean, it's not, I would assume it's not.
Yeah, actually, you're right. The process to get to Trésor, for instance, is rather difficult. Actually, the design part is the easiest part. Mm. Because you need to convince the company, you need to explain, you need to prove that makes sense, etc. So, yeah, it's never easy. And also, I make the difference between concept cars and what we call show cars. I would say, for me, show cars are like teasers. You know, they announce a coming production car. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, within the company, it's always easy to sell the idea that we are going to announce the future, I don't know, Clio for Renault. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing is easy. Everybody's happy about it. I mean, not everybody, by the way, because the guy from the marketing, sometimes they say, oh yeah, but if you show too early what the next one will be, we won't sell the current one, you know?
Yeah.
So even in that case, you have to deal a little bit. But I think it's not, to be honest, it's not interesting at all for us doing that kind of thing. So if the company doesn't want to do it, to be honest, I don't care. But what I find interesting is to make concept cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I always suggest if we do something and we invest money, we should do real concept cars. Because at least you can give you the opportunity to find really new ideas. You can suggest to people what the future could be and have a feedback from them when you show this on a motor show or wherever. And sometimes if you do something like Trésor, you can also have a lot of, coverage, media mm-hmm. coverage. So on the other hand, if you just show the next Clio, okay, it's the next Clio and it's not so, it's just, you just show in advance what the car would be. And sometimes it's disappointing, you know, because the show car is the finish is better and the sometimes proportions are slightly better.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even the reality, the truth, you know, the truth. So I don't like at all this idea of doing teasers, to be honest. But when you want to sell the idea of doing a concept car, then it's super difficult because the management is always thinking that you just want to have fun.
Yeah.
And then that's why we have to. It's not true, actually. Of course, we want to have fun. You know, who doesn't? You know, it's our energy is coming from that. You know, the energy is coming the fact that you are in a team and you are all going to enjoy so much what we're going to do. I mean, that's super important, but very difficult to explain that to your management. And that's also why we I'm pushing really hard in the storytelling to really show that it makes sense and can bring a lot to the company. So that's why I'm always taking all the technologies available. What kind of new usage? What could it? Even we're working. I'm involved in the visuals. You know, the images we're going mm-hmm. to make at the end. So, and all together, we can sell it.
Yeah, you said something very interesting. You just talked about technology, and how do you deal with that? I mean, we're living in this space now where we have a technology culture as well. We have technology available at our hands. I mean, like everybody has a phone, you know, like we have the smartphones connected 24/7 pretty much with this as well. And I'm pretty sure there's other departments within the OEMs in general, like we don't need to talk about Renault in particular, but you know, they constantly work on these things. We're thinking a lot about user experience and all these kind of things. How do you get these people together? Because probably the stronger you are as a team, and even if it's a non-just design team, but you know, people from other departments as well, it's going to be easier than to convince your bosses to actually get a car onto the road, because you can have the best storytelling as well. If maybe some other departments don't want to follow through, it's going to be a little bit difficult. So how immersed do you have to be in these new technologies? How much communication and, let's say, relationship building within other departments do you have to do that maybe is not really seen in, you know, what the concept car is in the end? Because that's the group power that then comes through that.
Yeah, actually, the a concept car for me is really an object that can that is going to help many people within the company. That's the way I present it, you know, and the way it is actually. When I go to engineering and they have a new technology, I say, look, we can put that technology in the next concept car, and we can show what it is. Same for UX UI, you know, we say, if you're thinking about something great that we, or even you are not sure about how to make it work, we can use the concept car to make some tests, to experiment and so on, you know. So that's definitely the way it works. I think a concept car should be an object that is really gathering people together and help them to experiment their own thing, you know.
Yeah, it's. I find it interesting because, you know, you've mentioned something also, the show car earlier, and it seems a little bit at the moment we see more from, and I'll take your definition because I think it's actually very good. We see much more show cars than actual concept cars than, let's say, 5-10 years ago.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
We see these teasers, we see, you know, like a certain kind of lookout of what's going to happen. We have companies like Volkswagen who have also have a mentality when it comes to these show cars, in that sense, that they need to be feasible, that they need to be producible on platforms from a selling perspective, in that sense. How do you see that developing? I mean, you're obviously a big advocate of the concept car as well, but do you see in a wider screen that this will come back, or do you think it's going to be a niche and maybe we will only see concept cars once a year at some specific shows, maybe Geneva or, you know, Munich now coming up in September or something like that? Because I have a little bit of a feeling we don't get, you know, 3-4 concept cars a year from a company anymore. I think it will be more just like, okay, we'll maybe just do one, and we have a bit more teasers at the moment because we want to get, you know, directly to our customers, and rather than just to show them what we might see, what the future is. It seems it's losing a little bit of an appeal to a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, I don't know if it's going to happen again, but I have the feeling that we will see less and less concept cars for sure. But I think it's probably because of the time, you know. Most of the companies are struggling actually right now, and when companies are afraid of the future, and they always focus on the essential things, you know, which makes sense. So meaning production cars, and even if you do a show car, a teaser, it's just to talk about production, what's coming next. What's going to bring you money? You have to reinsure investors, you know, and that's perfect. It makes sense, but I'm sure it will come back because we need to. I think car business is more than just a business, or it's a culture. That's why I mentioned earlier car culture, you know, and I think we need that because it's part of our culture. We need to show. To make people dream about that. You remember in the 50s, we talk about dream cars.
Yeah.
We didn't even say concept cars. We said dream cars. And I think it's almost from entertainment industry, you know, somehow it could be part of it. You know, I think it's a kind of a story. You show something like that. It's like in the GM or in the past, you know, with the what's his name? Oh, I forgot his name. You know, the streamliner. And you had this Motorama, you know,
yeah,
what the future is going to be about, and it's really a show, you know. It's like going to, it's like watching a movie, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think it could come back. It depends of the situation where if how the society is evolving, but I'm sure people will ask for Dream again. That's something we want. It's not going to disappear tomorrow. But I agree with you. Right now, it's not the moment.
Right. Do you think that the changing process of what we would call branding nowadays, but the appearance of the company, the appearance of the product, but not just in terms of the products themselves, but in everything that surrounds them, will have an impact on, you know, these concept cars and stuff like that? What I want to say with this and what I mean with this is, you know, you're based in France and, you know, we have, of course, we have haute couture in France, but we have all these brands and these brands have these haute couture shows. But at the same time, you know, they're selling everyday stuff, you know, we call it whatever you want, Chanel, Louis Vuitton, or whatever not. And I have a little bit of, and it's not just an idea in that sense, but I think if we look into other areas and into other creative mindsets, it would almost make sense to have this kind of haute couture show or like, you know, something to represent how far the brand itself can be. And then it doesn't need to be just a traditional car anymore. It could be something completely different, but it's something that represents the brand so that the people feel much more, you know, emotionally bonded to the brand rather than to the product. I mean, this is a, you know, what the Germans trying to do with the luxury vehicles and stuff like that, or the premium vehicles. But it feels a little bit to me in the generations that we're looking into right now, this could also very much be the case for, you know, for cars on the mid market or even on the low end market to then say like, you know, what can we do to maybe bond with the people on another emotional level rather than just the product, because that's where it's going to be difficult. You know, that's where you build then this kind of emotional feeling. And I do believe that even smaller brands, like, you know, take the Dacias, take the Skodas, whatever they're called, they could commit to something like, you know, an haute couture level and then just, you know, based on that, build relationships with people, because we know how it is. We don't see a lot of people wandering around with, you know, these very fancy dresses that are being shown at the show, but we see kind of, you know, slimmed down versions of that or eased up versions of that then on the red carpets and stuff. And I think there's something that we can learn within the car industry or in mobility spot from these companies because they almost perfectionized it.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think we will have anyway. As designers, we'll be involved in more than just making cars, probably, or like concept cars we used to make. You know, and it reminds me what the brand such as Lexus did in the Milano Furniture Fair. You know, where you can talk about your brand without making a car. So you can make a piece of art. You can do collaboration with artists or with others, singers or whoever. And it's going to be very diverse. I think the way to talk about your car, even as a designer, you'll have to deal with many different, kind of media, I would say. So meaning that concept cars will, if we keep doing them, are going to be a very little part of the whole process of expressing what your brand is about.
Do you think, I mean, we're talking about digital spaces nowadays as well, and I think a chance for these concept cars to survive, if, you know, to kind of keep, or let's not put it this way, not to survive, but keep them under a certain kind of financial control and make it maybe easier to bring them to life, are things such as video games and, you know, let's say on the digital space. In that sense, we have Gran Turismo, we have the Forza series. There's all these kind of outlets nowadays where we see cars being made for that, or maybe they're being shown at a show, but then they're being put into the game. What do you think of that? Do you think that when it comes to concepts, that this is something where you can go back to these dream cars for younger kids or, like, you know, younger people that played in these games, to bring them back into the car, to show them how exciting the car could be? Or do you think it's just a it's a nice toy to have, but the intent of what we then want to do with, you know, with the brand and with the future doesn't really necessarily lie there because the customer base is not there.
No, I definitely think that we have to talk to a younger generation. I mean, to be honest, right now I'm almost more inspired by, I don't know, some video games such as, you know, Cyberpunk or 2077 because, or other things, because you have a kind of new car culture which is coming. You know, I was in Japan the past 2 years, and you have this, you know, these guys nearby Yokohama with a crazy, you know, like a speed hunter type of cars, you know, with mangas, stickers on the everywhere on the cars. You have so many different aspects of the car culture coming from younger generation. And that are also mixing, you know, streetwear brands, that kind of thing, you know, with the way they use the vehicles. Mm. So I think it's we definitely have to take this into account, and it's super motivating, you know, having new inspiration, because as I said, you know, with my age, I could be inspired by nice cars from the 60s all my life, you know, they are amazing. So it's enough to be inspired. But I think it's very interesting to now to try to understand younger generation, to see what's going to make them happy to see in the future, you know, what will be a part of their own culture. So that's definitely something we have to take into account, I think. Digital era culture also. But on another hand, I think it's what is really interesting with the concept cars as we know, is that making the real thing is something quite unique, you know. Mm. When it comes to communicating your car, we found out that if the car is not a running prototype, if you cannot invite people on board, then you're losing a lot also in terms of media coverage, you know. Mm-hmm. If you look at influencers, for instance, you know, this woman and men that they have their own YouTube channel and so on.
Yeah.
If they cannot get in the car and talk to their audience, they don't even talk about it almost, you know what I mean? And to do so, you have to do a proper concept car. So that's interesting because somehow everybody say, oh, everything is going to be digital and we don't have to invest so much money and so on. But I think it's not entirely true. We have to, I think, and even if you remember, motor shows, when you see people coming to motor shows to see the real thing and to sometimes to be invited on the podium, to be in the car and you see how happy they are. I mean, I think it's unique. You cannot replace that with just digital tools, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree 100%. I mean, you know, we're obviously involved here in the Munich Motor Show as well. And, you know, there's a lot of conversations going on in the background as well. And, you know, about the digital spaces that comes with it. But I still believe that any kind of product in the, you know, a car or a vehicle and whatever it's going to be in the future is part of an experience. And this experience is about our senses as well. It's not just about seeing something or, you know, it's about smelling something. It's about touching something as well. And I think, you know, if you get close to a concept car on a stage and you can touch it or you can sit inside it, it's a completely different kind of feeling. And the things that comes close to it, of course, is then, you know, you have your rack where you can drive a car digitally on Gran Turismo or whatever it is. But that gives you just a feeling to do it. But then when you see it on pictures, and I can tell you this from my own personal experience very recently, I don't really look at reveals that much anymore. Because it's just pictures, you know, you see them everywhere on Instagram and stuff like that. There's of course the marketing machine behind it, but there's nothing really in that sense that makes me very attached to it, because it's just there and then it, you know, goes away again. And it's all these different kind of things. And I think this is where, in particular, these kind of concept cars are super important, because in a time where things get more and more similar, where diversification is becoming more and more difficult, these concept cars do show you an opportunity of, hey, this is what maybe a brand are, what a design team is all about, or like, you know, whatever you want to call it, that shows that there's something different there. you know, and that you have this kind of ability to differentiate and bring new ideas out. And, you know, it's the same for me when I look into all these autonomous driving situations where we're talking about boxes or toasters, and you mentioned like product design approach and stuff like that. And I always ask the questions like, is this really the future? I mean, I understand where it comes from and stuff like that, but couldn't it be something that, you know, we could do completely differently? Is it like, you know, that we're fixed now to this box for autonomy and stuff? And this is where it gets really interesting, because then we're talking not just about, you know, is the concept a vehicle concept, but is it an environmental concept? Is it an infrastructural concept, or is it an experience concept that is not just based on one brand, might be based on a city and stuff like that? And this is where I'm really, you know, fascinated to see how we can move ahead with concept cars, because I think we need to remove them from the idea of just the car, but into an infrastructure or into a full environment to explain to people why things, you know, are imagined the way they are or could work like that. Because otherwise it's just a product again, you know. And I think the generation that's now coming up with all these different new values, they don't necessarily just look at the product. They look at many other things outside the product and then combine everything to then have an opinion.
Yeah, I mean, the people are looking at, they want to have an experience, but not only a digital experience, you know. It's not because they spend 100% of their time almost looking at their mobile phone that they want only this, you know. And I think, as you mentioned, we even in Renault, we've done a lot of that. We took in account the what we say ecosystem, the surrounding, you know, not just doing a car, but thinking about, oh, car, you know, like EasyGo or EasyPro, it's this concept that can be part of the city. It's almost a piece of a city which is moving, you know. That's the, when we started the project, that was the mindset I gave, you know. I said, oh, imagine if it's a part of the building which is detached from the building and which is moving in the city, you know. That is the kind of mindset we have when we start such a kind of project. Just want to say that what is exciting is that we will have so many different types of vehicles to design also compared. I mean, in the past, you just had to do something, you know, like, you need to be able to have five people and a quite good storage luggage, and that's it, and good looking car, and that's it. I think what is super exciting is that we can experiment so many different ideas, because there will be so many different ways of using a vehicle in the future, from the guy who doesn't care and just want to go from A to B. But even for this, you need to design something, you know, maybe boring, and it can be interesting to design this boring thing. And from another one who wants to have a kind of super exciting experience, like watching a piece of art, you know. So you even go beyond functionality. You do even more than that. So that's such a wide range of exploration, of expression for us. So I think I would be rather positive about the future.
Then let me ask you this. It's just like, you know, when you look into the future a little bit as well, and, last conversation I had was with Holger Hampf, who's at Design Works, and we talked a little bit about the role of the designer, and we talked about designers need to, in particular in the mobility space as well, need to learn new skill sets in that sense as well. What do you think is important for, you know, new students coming out of school that want to go into the mobility space? What do you see is going to be a tool set or like a skill set that they will need in the next 5 to 10 years that's maybe not there anymore or not yet?
Yeah, I think students, by the way, you mentioned the concept cars you see on Instagram and so on. I would make the remark that some students are so talented that sometimes you don't know. You're not sure if the car is coming from the company itself or the student. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that shows that as a company, you must go beyond that and make real things also to make the difference. You know what I mean? But it's just a comment. I would say that student, I mean, for them, they have to take into account so much more than we had to do in the past. Meaning they will have to be brand specialist almost, you know, that we'll have to understand marketing, brand, how to deal with storytelling, among the fact that they have to design something that which is good looking or which is clever.
Mm-hmm.
So the tools they will need, I think, in the future, and I think some of them are already doing that, is that, of course, sketching is not anymore necessary to express your ideas. Maybe it's necessary for yourself as a tool to think, but they will have to do their digital model by themselves. Mm. And plus, they will have to do probably to make some animation and movies, even more than just animate. Maybe they will have to almost create a kind of a short movie, you know, to almost with actors or something like in video games. I don't know. They will have to go really beyond just making an object and showing what it could look like. So I think it's going to be a bit more difficult for them because they will have to on many more softwares and a way to express the ideas. I think that's what they will have to do.
Yeah. No, I agree, and I am, you know, as excited as you are about the future, to be fair. And I really, first of all, I want to say thank you really for taking the time. But before I let you know, I know that you've listened to a couple of podcasts before you, so you know that there's three questions that I will always ask everybody who's joining us on the podcast. So before we end the session, let's dive deep into it. And first question number one, which creative mind for you personally, and this doesn't need to be somebody in the car industry, it can be pretty much in anywhere, has inspired you in your career and in your personal life the most?
I didn't find, it was difficult to find just one. I would say Le Corbusier, I would say.
All right.
Yeah.
Question number two. Which project, and again, this is a non-car project in that sense, if you want to, that you have not been part of, would you absolutely have joined to be part of?
The NASA.
This keeps on popping up, you know? It's like a lot of people love this kind of, you know, NASA, Apollo 11, 13, whatever kind of level it is. They absolutely love that.
I didn't try to be different, you know. I'm just trying to tell the truth.
what is your appeal to that? I mean, when I spoke with Benoit Jacob, he said just like, the combination of engineering, getting things done and all these things is just what fascinates him. He said like, I'd even be the, you know, the carpenter, like no problem. I just look and, you know, clean the floor and I just wanted to be there. What is your appeal to that, apart from, you know, obviously that it's cool to go into space, but what is it that interests you about it?
Yeah, I think I know Benoit quite well, and we talk about that sometimes because we are both quite fan of aircraft and so mm-hmm. on. And but I think it's kind of ultimate design. To be honest, the ultimate design is the when function and beauty are perfect, and you don't even need a designer. It's almost like something coming from God, you know, if there's a God, you know what I mean? It's something that goes beyond. And then it's kind of fascinating, I think, to have these perfect objects that are made almost just because they have to be made like that. And you don't even know why, just necessity of the physics. Physics is the designer, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of fascination. When everything comes together, it looks great and it works and it brings so much to humanity also, you know, the dream of going further, you know.
Yeah. All right. Last question. And I think this might be the one that I, you know, that most people struggle with. If I give you a blank check, which car would you buy?
Yeah, I know, but it's super boring answer I'm going to give you.
Go on.
A 911.
which model? I mean, like, if we talk about 911, we have to talk about which, you know, model you prefer, which model you like, and all these kind of things. So, what's the perfect 911 for you?
Actually, I found the latest one quite good, to be honest. And actually for 4 years I didn't like it anymore. But the the past 5 years, I found it, especially Targa ones, I find just them perfect. You know, it's just like a sketch.
Yeah.
The size and the volumes and the silhouette. And the good thing about that car is that you're not judging the design anymore for me. It's just a 911 is so perfect. People are not asking themselves, oh, is it good or bad? Is it beautiful or not? It's more than that. It's just a 911. You don't judge it anymore. No, but that's amazing. People, you know, in the street, they're not saying anymore it's good or bad. It's just there, you know.
Yeah.
It's part of us. So I found it fascinating.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Stefan. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you share your thoughts and give us some insights of yourself and obviously of your brain as well. Thank you very much for joining in. And to all of our listeners, as always, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Die Gestalten Podcast, this time with Stefan Janer. And please do not forget to subscribe to us. And wherever you can rate us, please do rate us, share us with your friends so that, we have, many more guests planned, of course, but we can get, the same level as Stefan in the future as well. So thanks for listening once again. See you very, very soon and hear from you very soon. And if you need anything else, if you want to contact us, please do use social media on all different kind of channels to contact us for questions and everything. But Stefan, once again, thank you very much. And to all the listeners, you will hear back from us in a couple of weeks' time.